They did get the basement of the hospital put in, but they never did get enough to put the building on top of it.
Where was that located?
54th and Main Street. They have, I think it's an ABC Market there now. They ended up selling it to the ABC Market. But by the time all that was done, well, the other hospitals opened up and decided they would let blacks come in and be mingled with the other patients. So it did do some good by them trying to do that, you know. But
it showed, how did it do good?
Well, the other hospitals decided to let the blacks be mixed in with the other patients, you know. We didn't have to get a private room. You could have a roommate, no matter who it was, according to the illness, you know. They'd pair you off according to your illness.
And about what year is this?
That was about 1951. About 1951. Mm-hmm.
Photo number 10.
Oh, this is the bathing beauty contest. That's part of that bathing beauty contest when I was in, this was 1928, up in Corona, California. And
how did you get involved in that?
Well, whoever was in charge of it asked me to be in it. And I found out that this was all cut and dried, and the prizes were already decided before the contest who was going to get the prizes. And
why was that?
Carolyn Snowden was a popular chorus girl then. She had lots of chorus girls dancing for her, and most all of her chorus girls won the best prizes. I got one of the prizes, but I called mine an insignificant prize that I got, because all the better prizes were given to the chorus girls. And I wasn't a chorus girl. I was just an unknown person. But all the audience all said, well, you should have gotten the first prize. You were better looking than that girl who got the prize. I think I got about the 7th prize. Which was just nothing, really.
Did you ever enter any other contests?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
And what place was this at in Corona?
It was called the Corona Country Club. And boy, those policemen really gave us a hard time. Most everybody who went up there got a ticket. See, they didn't want colored up there. They had agreed to sell this clubhouse to a group of colored people. Corona, California, I guess about 25 miles from here, going toward Pomona. And, it was a big crowd then. People just were so excited about it because it was a nice place. And, but so many people got tickets, they didn't go back and support it anymore. They said, well, we can't afford that, you know.
And they were giving tickets to discourage the blacks from coming up there?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And they didn't deserve those tickets. They weren't going that fast. They weren't breaking all those rules, you know. They just pretended they were. And so it didn't last very long. But that one day, everybody had a good time. And this is me standing alone that day of the contest.
And what did they have you do in this contest?
Oh, we marched around, and the people applauded for us as we were marching around.
You're all wearing bathing suits here.
Yeah, we were all wearing bathing suits. And then, they had a few people supposed to be wearing sport outfits. Now, like this girl right here, she got the prize for the sport outfit. Now, you would think this one would have gotten the prize for the sport outfit, but they gave it to this one. Now, see, there was no justice at all there, because her outfit didn't even look like a sport outfit. But they just had her picked out before the contest even started that she was going to get the prize.
So they were judging on, now did all the girls, did they make their outfits, or the judges were judging on, like, your taste in your sporting outfit, or how you looked in it?
How you looked in it, I think, because you didn't have to make them.
Right.
So I guess it's how you looked in it. See, she didn't even have on a hat. She didn't look like she had on a sport outfit. She looked like she had on an After Five outfit. This one was definitely the one who should have had it, because she had on a hat and a sport outfit and shoes, and she had a purse too, but you can't see it in the picture.
What's the difference between a sporting outfit and an After Five outfit?
Well, this was sort of like a dainty dress. It was a crepe dress, you know, sort of a sheer type dress, afternoon dress. Nothing sporty about that, but she got the prize for the sport outfit. Said, people said, oh, boo, you know, they said it was so unfair, you know. And everybody said, I had a better shape than the girl who won the first prize. Let's see if I can see her on here. The large picture, I can see her. On the large picture. Well, you can see a little bit here. That's the girl who won the first prize right there.
And this
is the clubhouse. Yeah, that's the clubhouse, the Corona clubhouse in Corona, California.
Okay. Photo number 14.
This is the Orange Julius business that my son and I had. We bought the franchise with the Orange Julius business.
When was that?
Let's see, that was about 1952, I think.
This is sort of during your real estate years?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And where was that located?
Vernon and Central, same place where I had my little grocery store. That was a lucky corner for me. And you know, the Jack in the Box was there during this recent riot, and then they burned it down.
On the spot?
Uh-huh, same spot. Yeah.
What do you remember about the orange juice stand there?
Well, it didn't go so big because the people seemed to, in that neighborhood, they seem to want beer and wine and stuff.
You need to get that?
Mm-hmm.
Julius.
Yeah. That's a devilish good drink, that orange juice. Really is good and healthy for you because it's made with fresh orange juice, you know. And we paid $1,500 for the franchise. And it has a secret formula, you know, that you... a powdered formula you mix in with the fresh orange juice and crushed ice, and it really is a devilish good drink. But the people in that neighborhood just didn't seem to go for it enough. You know, we sold quite a bit. We didn't sell enough to make enough profit out of it to stay in the business, you know, because our rent was high by the time we went in there with that. And They'd rather buy liquor and beer instead of the orange juice, you know. And that's all we could sell because the man who had the lease on the building, he had a delicatessen in one department and he had a liquor store in another department. And we had this little orange juice business there. And I wanted to sell donuts too, but I couldn't sell donuts because the delicatessen had the donuts, so all I could sell was the orange Julius. So in wintertime, I couldn't sell enough to make it, so I had to go out of business. So luckily, my son was inducted into the Army, and that got us out of the lease, because we had signed a lease with the guy. So by him being inducted into the Army, we could break the lease. but otherwise I was going to be stuck with that big lease and that big rent because our hands were tied that we couldn't sell but that one item, and that just wasn't enough to stay there.
And why was your son, he was drafted?
Yeah, he was drafted in the Army, and he went in the Army, stayed 2 years.
During wartime, or?
Yeah, wartime. Mm-hmm. During the war. Uh-huh. 19, when was that now? When was the war? 42? Was the war in 42? Mm-hmm. 52. Yeah, 40. I guess it was 42. Anyway, mm-hmm. during the war,
right.
He stayed in 2 years.
And is that the during the time when you went and worked in the shipyard?
Yeah. Yeah, when I went out of business there, went and worked in the shipyard.
That was the next job that you had?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, okay. So, they paid you to learn how to be a welder. And they were hiring women because, see, the men were all going off to the Army. So they used women. And they would teach you how to be a welder and pay you at the same time. So I was good. I caught on right away. But I had a lady friend whose husband was a doctor. And he told me, I better not do that. He says, that's not good for a woman's nerves, so that'll just shatter your nerves. You find yourself another job. Don't you keep that job. So he talked me out of it. That's the reason I didn't continue it. And so my teacher, he was so disappointed when I quit. I didn't work very long, about 2 or 3 months, I guess. Because I decided, well, my health is more important to me than money. I needed the money, but I figured I could do something else, you know. So I gave it up, and he was so disappointed. He said, you're my best student. You were going to be able to graduate pretty soon. I said, well, I'm sorry, but my doctor said that's not good for my nerves, for woman's nerves, you know.
Where was this?
Down in Long Beach. Worked at the shipyard in Long Beach.
Do you remember the name?
No, I don't. But I probably have one of the check stubs tucked away someplace. But I don't know where it is right now.
Did you like this work?
No, I really didn't. I really didn't like it. Because I had to wear these glasses on my eye to protect my eyes, you know, keep the sparkles from getting in my eyes. And a big old heavy hood over my head to protect your hair. And pants, I had to wear pants. And they had lots of people working.
Who else was working down there?
Oh, lots of women, but I don't know them. I didn't know them. But they had lots of women working down there. And it was pleasant. Everybody was pleasant, you know, that I was working with. And you'd go on I think they had the red car running then. I didn't have to drive down. I went on the red car.
What were you welding?
You were just practicing welding so you could learn how to weld the ships. They just had you practicing on metal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quit that, and that's when I... right after that, I guess I went into real estate. Started working in real estate.
Here's photo number 15.
Okay, this is the glass house exhibit. Now, that's a cute little uniform I was talking about. This doesn't show up, but that was a cute little plaid dress that I had on underneath there. I made that little dress myself. Edna Kirby, that was her name, Edna Kirby. She was certainly nice to work for. See, this was all glassed in. The people would stand on the outside and watch us See, whatever we were working with, whatever products we were working with, they could see what we were working with. So that was our form of advertising the products, you see. And I was working with the Kraft products that day when the Kraft cheese man came along. And but that only lasted 10 days.
So people would come here to the auditorium just to see the glass house, or were there other exhibits
there? There were other exhibits, too. But this was one of the exhibits, the glass house. And she had foods from Globe A1 Flour, Kraft Cheese Company, and all the different food companies, you know. And you can't see it here, but see, here's the whole house, the bathroom, the dining room. They has a living room section too, and so I would be in the kitchen making the stuff. When I get it finished, I'd take it in here and serve it to them, you know.
Serve it to who?
Edna Kirby and her husband or guests. Sometimes she'd have some of the people from the companies, the representatives from the company, they could come in and sit down in the glass house. And then I would serve them whatever I was making. Whatever, we'd always cook something. We would represent the different foods, and we'd cook something from some of the foods we had represented. And then I'd serve it to see how they liked it, you know.
Do you remember any of the other exhibits they had there?
Let's see. Just any food you can think of that's on the market. Oh, different flours. And what other kind of flour? Like Globe A1 flour and Kraft Cheese Company. The reason I remember them was I used that a lot. On different milks, Jersey-made milk. We use the milks, just anything along the food line, and butter, you know, like challenge butter. We'd use their butter, mm-hmm. And then different ice creams we would have, just anything. And they paid her, you see, to advertise the food, and I got $3 a day. For 10 days, $30. Big deal. But that $30 went a long ways, I'm telling you. She was nice.
Here's the next photo, number 16.
Oh, that was a trip we went to Catalina Island. This friend took me and this lady. She was visiting here from Louisiana. She took us on this trip to Catalina Island, and this was one of the workers on the boat.
Did you go there? Was that a popular place to go?
Oh, yeah, that was a popular cruise to take, a one-day cruise. You could go there and come back on the same day. Mm-hmm. She's sick now. She's still living, but she's in a coma, been in a coma for years. I don't see how she can still exist. And they just had to feed her through a tube.
Mm. Here's photo number 17.
Oh, that's me and my son. And that's his father, insert there. He had died when this picture was made. And we had never gotten around to taking a good picture of him, so I had to just insert that little Kodak picture of him in there. So he was just like a little brother to me. I could just take him any place because he was so nice, and everybody enjoyed having around because he wasn't a bad child. He'd go to people's house and he wouldn't be trying to pick up their things, you know, and play with them. Because I tell him, that's decorations. You don't play with that. That's not toys. You don't play with those. So I could take him to play bridge with me and take old cards for him to play with. He'd sit on the floor and play with the cards while I'm playing bridge. So he was a good little boy. So I'm very proud of him. He turned out to be a nice son. He went right straight through school and college and everything. And when he got out of the Army, they gave him a nice job with the Army as an auditor. He worked as an auditor for the government. That's what he did while he was in the Army. He got inducted into the Army. They had him working in the office because he majored in business administration and accounting. So they needed someone in the office. So he just worked in the office while he was in the Army. Didn't have to leave the state. He worked in San Francisco. Then when he got out of the Army, they gave him a job as an auditor. And that's my son again. And a little wagon with a little goat. You know, they had photographers going around with a little goat in the wagon taking pictures of children. And oh, he certainly thought that was cute. Riding a little wagon with the goat. His father had died then. He doesn't remember his father because he was just a year and 8 months old when his father died.
And you lived at your parents' house?
Yeah. This is in front of my mother's and father's home.
So was he very close to your father? Did he see your father as sort of like his father too?
Oh, yes.
Okay, here's photo number 19.
Oh, yeah. This is the one where I thought I had it over. Well, see the one on the wall over there, that's me alone, but that was taken the same time this one was taken. The three of us, we went to a masquerade party, Halloween party. That was our Halloween costumes, you know. And so I think this girl is deceased, but this one moved out of town. I still have her address, and we keep in contact. I'm supposed to go visit her, and she's supposed to come down and visit me. So we were all friends when we were youngsters, and we used to have lots of fun together.
And what kind of costume are you wearing?
That's what you call that was our Halloween costume. We went to a Halloween party at the Levada Ballroom, which was on Vernon Avenue near Wall Street, over on the east side. That was a place, it was an apartment house building, but they used the basement for parties. They used to rent it out to people for parties in the basement. So they had lots of little parties going on down there. So we went over there to the Halloween party, and that's where we were going that night, the Halloween party.
And was it usual that when you were all dressed up or going to a party that you would, this is taken in a studio, you would go and have your photo taken first?
I think we had this made afterwards, after the party, because we decided, we thought our costumes were so cute, we wanted a picture of them. And this was a studio, huh?
This is our copy, so we don't have what you had on the back of yours. You might have information on the back of yours.
Mm-hmm.
But that was sort of a usual thing to do, is to go to the photo studio and have your picture taken?
Yeah, that was... everybody didn't do that. We just used to do that because, I mean, our little group used to do that, but everybody didn't do that because they didn't have that extra money, you know, to
so
do that.
So it was kind of an expensive thing to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, see, we were all living at home with our parents, and we didn't have a whole lot of expense because my husband was dead, but I was still living at home with my parents. She was living with her parents. And I think she was too. So what we were all had little jobs, and what little money we had, we could spend it the way we wanted to.
And did you make your costumes, or did you rent them?
Well, I sort of put it together. Now this was a yellow organdy dress I had underneath, and this top part was just a little short dress that I probably rented. Yeah, I rented that because I didn't have that. And I just rented that and put it over my yellow organ dress because I thought it was too short for me. That'd be a dance girl dress. Dancing girl's dress.
And their outfits match.
Yeah, I guess they rented theirs. Yeah, they probably rented. We probably got that at a regular costume place.
Here's photo number 20.
Yeah, well, now this one summer, some friends of mine was visiting from Texas, and we had been out, sightseeing, and they brought me back home. And this was in my mother's front yard, and that's my little boy, Arthur Lewis Jr., standing in the background. He was always trying to get in on the pictures. So these young men were taking pictures of me sitting on the lawn.
You're really smiling there.
Yeah, I was having fun that day. We'd been sightseeing. I was showing them around Los Angeles because they hadn't been here before. I said, we stopped by my house to take pictures and for them to meet my mother and my little boy.
Here's photo number 21.
Oh, that's another day at the beach at the Inkwell, Sound of Santa Monica. This was, trying to think of his name. That was the young man that took me out after my husband died. West, his last name was West. Can't think of his, Sydney West, that was Sydney West. And we went to the beach that day.
And did you go to the beach a lot?
Yeah, we used to go to the beach a lot. And I, believe it or not, I never did learn how to swim. But I used to love to go there and play in the water. And then get wet and then come and cover up in the sand. That really made you feel good to get real wet and then cover up in that sand. And when I first came out here, I had rheumatism in one of my knees. And by doing that, getting in that salt water and covering up with the sand, it seemed to have drawn that rheumatism away. I didn't have it anymore. It just went away. And I think that's what did it, going to the beach.
Is this the same day, number 22?
Yeah, this is the same day, because that's the same fellow, yeah. Mm-hmm.
These were your friends?
Yeah, these were my friends. Seapolis Smith, Gladys Babineau, Sidney West, and Werner. And he died just about a year ago, last December he died. She's still living. He's still living. But I don't know where he lives now. But that was the same day down the Santa Monica Beach. I don't like to go to the beach much now. I'm too cold-natured. I freeze to death almost.
Here's photo number 23.
Yeah, this is... Oh, that's a different day because that's somebody else.
This is the same place?
Uh-huh, same place. I can't think of his name. I guess I had his name on the back of my picture, huh?
But, we probably have it.
Yeah, this is cinema. And I got on that the bathing suit that says Hollywood.
Why is that?
That's the same. I was still wearing that bathing suit, you know, that says Hollywood. The one I had on in the bathing beauty contest. I still have that bathing suit.
This is the one you wore in that contest?
Yeah, that contest, yeah.
And why does it say Hollywood on it?
Well, I bought it out in Hollywood. It just had Hollywood. And I wasn't representing anyone in particular. So I just let the Hollywood stay on it. Let people think I was from Hollywood.
Here's number 24.
Oh, yeah. That's the famous picture that's in the magazine, to the L.A. Style magazine, huh? Oh, yeah. That's really nice. That was August the 2nd, 1924. We weren't even married then. We married August the 18th of 24. And that was August the 2nd. And that's the first time I ever hugged up with a boy on the out in public. Oh, my dad saw that picture. He really bawled me out. What are you doing hugged up with a boy out in the public like that? He just thought that was terrible. And so I said, well, Papa, I didn't do that. He just grabbed me.
You look pretty comfortable.
I didn't look like I was trying to get away, huh?
How do you remember the date?
Well, I had it written on the back of one of my pictures.
And what, do you remember anything else about that day?
Oh, yeah, I was just happy as a lark because I had just met him, you know. I met him, let's see, 2/16. I had only known him about 2 weeks when that was made. And we had been seeing each other every night. He worked during the day, and every night he's coming over to see me because I only had a month left to stay here. See, I was out here visiting from Texas. And I had been here 2 months, and I had one more month to stay because we came out here for 3 months. And I just had 1 month left when I met him. And so he's making hay while the sun was shining. And he's the first boy my parents let me go out with, because they thought he was so nice, you know. Before, if I'd go out with a boy, my brother had to go along, you know. But they thought he was such a nice, mannerly young man that they let me go out with him. And there were lots of little house parties going on. And the first place he took me when he took me out was over to meet his parents. He was living with his grandmother. And I got a good impression of him because he wanted me to meet his parents. And I liked them and they liked me. And I liked him too. And so every night he'd come on.
What is this fence here?
Oh, that's a private club next door, Club Castle. You see, we only had that one little spot we could go to. That's a segregated part of the beach in Santa Monica. And the blacks could only go to that one little section. And all those other parts of the beach had signs up there. Private, they were private clubs. And unless you belonged to that club, you couldn't go in that section at all. And naturally, you couldn't join the club, you know. So we just had to go to this little spot, which we called the ink spot.
How big a space was it?
Well, I guess it was about 100 feet. About 100 feet wide. And one day I was playing, I mean, that same day, I think it was, we were playing beach ball, one of those big beach balls that you play with at the beach. And my ball went over that fence, and I ran over there to get my ball. A little old white lady comes running up to me, saying, "You got no business over here." And I just looked at her and didn't say anything. I just kicked my ball and ran on back over there in my spot where I belonged. Laughed at myself, you know. Says, poor thing, she doesn't know any better. But we had lots of fun there. But now they say you can go any place you want to go now. But I don't care about going to the beach now. I'm so cold-natured, I freeze to death when I go down there.
Here's number 25.
Oh, that's another time at the beach. Oh, boy, I really used to love to go to the beach. And I got that Hollywood swimsuit on again. That's a friend of mine's little girl. And that was about 1931, because I remember.
And this is at the same beach?
Yes, yeah, same beach.
And then when did the beaches become desegregated?
I'm not sure when that happened. But that used to be the place to go, you know. Because it wasn't so interesting going to the parks here because they even had the parks segregated. You couldn't go to the like Exposition Park and go in the swimming pool when you wanted to. You had to go a certain day. And that was the day that they were going to, the day before they changed the water. Like if they changed the water on Friday, well, we could go on Thursday and use the pool because they were going to change the water the next day. So the parks weren't very popular because I didn't want to go to the park anyway. I figured the water was dirty. We had to wait till the last day before they were going to change the water to use it. And I said, I don't want to go in that old dirty water. And so we didn't go to the parks very much. So we ended up going to the beach all the time, you know.
Do you remember other instances of segregation in L.A. during those times?
Oh, yeah, in the restaurants. You go in the restaurants, and it was against the law to segregate you, but if they could get away with it, they would. The way they would do it, I remember we went in a French restaurant downtown once, and the waiter met us at the door. He says, follow me. He didn't say we can't serve you. He just says, follow me. And there was nobody in there. All the tables were vacant except one or two. He took us to the very back and seated us in the back table. So the lady who was taking us there, after we got back there, she realized what he had done. So she says, oh, no, we're not going to stay here. So we just all got up and walked out. We didn't say anything.
Like your father would have done.
Yeah, that's right. We just got up and walked out. See, ordinarily, if they're not trying to segregate, they'll ask you, where would you like to sit? You know, he just said, follow me. And we followed him, you know, until he seated us. And then we just got up and walked out. And let's see. Oh, we sued a company at Slauson and Central Avenue. There used to be a drive-in restaurant that had the best barbecued sandwiches and malted milks. After the dances, we used to all go there and have a sandwich and a malted milk because their food was delicious. And we just thought it was fun to sit in the car and eat the sandwich and have the malt. But we heard that they wouldn't serve you if you go and sit at the fountain. But we'd been going there for years before we heard that. So when we heard that, we decided we'd test it out to see if that was true. And we, seven of us, got out of the car one night and went in there and sat down at the fountain, at the counter, to eat. Sure enough, they told us they couldn't serve us at the counter. We'll serve you in your car, but we can't serve you at the counter. And told us why, because we were colored. See, there's nobody else in there but us, so there's nobody else to hear them say it but us. And, of course, we got up and walked out, and we quit going there for drive-in, too. We didn't go there anymore. And we got up and walked out, and we sued them. But we had a dumb, dumb lawyer. This lawyer had all of us to sue him. And he went and paid some witnesses to say that we came in there loud and boisterous. And he refused to serve us because we were loud and boisterous. He didn't say that he refused us because we were colored. He said they were loud and boisterous, and that's why I refused to serve. And his witnesses corroborated. Well, see, we didn't have any witnesses because all of us were suing him. Well, if he'd have been a smart lawyer, he'd had some of us to be a witness.
Do you think he did that on purpose?
Sure he did.
I mean, do you think he knew that if he had you all sue them, then there wouldn't be any witnesses?
You mean the lawyer?
Yeah.
No, he was a colored lawyer. I just think he didn't know any better. That's when I said he was dumb, because he was a colored lawyer. And he wanted us to win, but he just didn't know any better. And this owner just outsmarted him, because he didn't have any idea, I don't guess, that the lawyer was going to pay somebody to get up there and lie. Because there was nobody else in there. He didn't have any witnesses. We were the only customers in there.
And what year was this?
That was about 1934.
And was this a common occurrence for people to stand up and to take it to the law?
Oh, yeah, yeah, and lots of people would win. Lots of people would win, and that would break it down. See, when they'd win, that'd break it down. But you see, lots of other people had better lawyers. They'd have some witnesses, but we didn't have any witnesses because this dumb lawyer had us all suing him, you know. And so they would win. But we lost the case. And I said, I can't believe it. Because it was against the law for him to refuse us in the first place. The fact that we, just because we were colored, you know. But anyway, that place where the drive-in place where he refused, he started serving color then after that. Even though we lost the case, it did break him down. He started serving people. But we never went back there anymore anyway. Like, you know, the Brown Derby, they wouldn't serve you either when they were over there on Wilshire. Wilshire near Normandy, I think it was, and they wouldn't serve colored in there. And even after they started serving colored, I never did want to go there to them, you know. But they will serve you now here, but I didn't care about going there. But there's lots of them. See, lots of the Southerners would come out here and bring their prejudices with them, even though it's against the law for them to do it. But if they can get away with it, they're going to get away with it, you know. Because it's against the law, automatically, for them to do that. And one day I went to 7th and Central Avenue, a little drugstore, on the corner, 7th Street and Central Avenue. That's right on the east side. And all of us lived on the east side. But this was a sort of a commerce section where they had lots of businesses. And I had a little job working, running the elevator. At one of those little business buildings over in there. I was cashier to theater at night and run the elevator down there in the daytime. And so I decided I'd go in there and have lunch. They had a nice little lunch counter there, you know. And I wanted a tuna sandwich. That was my favorite sandwich, tuna sandwich. And they were 15 cents on the menu. And the counter was just full. And I was standing behind the other people waiting for someone to get up, you know. And so the lady got up, and I sat down. And the clerk said to me right away, "What do you have?" I said, "It's a tuna sandwich. That cost you 35 cents. And I had just looked at it on the menu. It said 15 cents. Well, I knew that meant that he was going to charge me more because I was colored. Well, if I'd been smart, I'd have gone on and ordered and just paid him 15 cents. But I was sort of timid, and I just got up and left and never went back anymore. But I should have just gone on and ordered it and just paid him 15 cents. But I never was the kind to try to make trouble. You know, I'd rather avoid it if I could. So I just got up and left. But that was a form of segregation right there.
And so what did you do after that?
I just never went in there anymore. But I guess pretty soon they started serving color because they used to see color in there, but I never did go in there anymore. I just take my lunch with me every day, make my own tuna sandwich at home, bring it with me, eat lunch over there in the building where I worked. And I was in the habit of doing that anyway in the South because I knew that I couldn't go in these places and eat. So we had a habit of taking our lunch with us anyway, you know. And right now, I don't. It's no big deal for me to go out and eat. Lots of people all think, "Oh, that's just wonderful. Let's go out to dinner." But to me, that's no big deal because I never was in the habit of doing it when I was growing up. And to me, that's no big deal. I just rather go to somebody's house and eat rather than to go out to a restaurant to eat. My son, he likes to do that. He likes to go out and eat.
Let's look at this one, number 26.
Oh, that was a nice afternoon tea. And this was on the east side. It's when all of us lived on the east side. And this was about 1937. And this is Lionel Hampton's wife. You know Lionel Hampton, the famous...
Her name is Gladys?
Yeah, that's his wife there. And that's Leon Washington's first wife. No, this one right here was Leon Washington's first wife. Leon Washington was the one that started the L.A. Sentinel.
What do you remember about him?
Leon Washington? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's the one that started the Jewish people on Central Avenue hiring blacks. You know, they had those businesses on Central Avenue and weren't hiring any blacks at all. And Leon Washington started picketing them and saying, don't work, don't trade where you can't work. So then they started hiring blacks.
And so he organized the community to follow that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oops.
Washington, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a, I used to tell him all the time, I said, you're just a trailblazer. You're blazing the path for others to follow.
There was a newspaper before that.
California Eagle.
And how was the Sentinel different from the Eagle?
Oh, it was more progressive than the Eagle. See, the Eagle was run by Charlotta Bass, and she was an older woman. And her husband was an older man, too. But Leon was a young man, you know, had more energy, more nerve, you know. And he was more of a go-getter. So it was more successful than the Eagle. And but the Eagle was a good paper. Oh, and this girl, she used to write for the Eagle. She was a social editor for the Eagle.